What's up, everybody? This is the Cox Sports Podcast. I'm Jackson.
And I'm Carson.
This is our third episode. Again, we just appreciate all the love you guys have shown us so far. Remember to click on our links on Twitter where our podcasts are available to listen to. We have episodes 1 and 2 out right now, and this is our third. Today we'll be doing NBA 2020 playoff predictions. Carson, would you like to get started, or would you like to do some rules? I guess we did it 1 through 8, Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Remember that the NBA playoffs are a true playoff format in that when the one seed advances, no matter what, they play the winner of the 4 and 5. And same with the 2 and 3, they play the winner of 3 and 6. So even if the 6th seed advances and that's the lowest seed, the 1 seed still plays the winner of 4 and 5. It's not like the NFL playoffs in that the higher seed plays the lowest seed.
Yeah, I think I'll just briefly go over how we're going to do this. First, we're going to start off with the East, and we're just going to do the 4 main matchups, and then we're going to advance to the West and do the 4 main matchups, and then we'll go to the Eastern Conference semifinals, then we'll go back to the Western Conference semifinals, and then we'll do the Eastern Conference finals and the Western Conference finals. And then at the end, we'll, of course, do our NBA finals predictions.
Right, kind of like a 4-4-2-2-1 type of thing with alternating Eastern and Western Conference finals. All right, yeah, I'm down to get started. You ready?
All right, let's do this. We'll go ahead and start. The number 1 seeded Bucks against the number 8 seeded Orlando Magic. I had the Bucks winning 4-0. The Magic, they don't really have a Giannis stopper with Jonathan Isaac getting hurt. I think Giannis absolutely tears up that series along with Chris Middleton and the cast. And I just think they're by far a better team, so I have them sweeping with no problems.
I went Bucks in 5. I like this Magic team, and regardless of Jonathan Isaac's injury, I like their core enough to the point where I think they could pick off a game in the playoffs. Last year, they had a good run at the Raptors, and I think that this year they could have given the Bucks a run for their money, not necessarily making it more than 5 games. I think 5 games is probably a max, but I went with Bucks in 5. Magic pick off 1-10.
Yeah, just the way the Bucks destroyed the Pistons last year in the first round, I just don't see the Magic putting up a fight. And I thought that Pistons team had some promise. I thought they could pick off a game or two with Drummond and Blake Griffin, but they didn't. So I have the Bucks winning in 4 for me.
I think you could see the Bucks potentially looking forward a little bit in this series as well. They know that they're the outright favorites in the East this year, and I think that this series against the Magic could potentially be a little bit of a road bump just because I think they wouldn't take them as seriously as they should. But regardless, they're going to win the series.
All right, on to the next matchup. We have the 4-seeded Miami Heat versus the 5-seeded Indiana Pacers. I have the Heat winning in 7. The Heat, 27-5 at home. The teams aren't they're not very different between one another, and I think the Heat win every game at home, and their road record is atrocious. So I see the Pacers winning every home game that they have. So I think the Heat, just being the higher seed, just went out according to having home court appearances.
I also went Heat in 7. This is going to be a really interesting series, especially with the return of Victor Oladipo. He has been just such a big-time player for Indiana over the years, and if he were to return to full health, I believe that they would give the Heat a run for their money, potentially even win this series. But unfortunately, I had to go Miami in 7. I think Jimmy Butler is the best player in the series, and I think that Miami has the best core. Indiana is a great team. But at the end of the day, I just don't think it'd be enough. I think Miami in 7. Also, the regular season series matchup, Heat already leading 2-0, winning at home and on the road against Miami. Not necessarily that that's any sort of indicator that you playoff matchups will go that way, the way they've gone in the regular season. But I always like to look at that just to see how the matchups go. So I went with Heat in 7 as well.
Yeah, if you look at the Pacers, their starting 5 ranks up, I think, with any other starting 5 in the NBA. From point guard to center, I think they're very well-rounded. I think their bench is what really hurts with having Jeremy Lamb tear his ACL. They have TJ McConnell as their main guy off the bench, and I just don't think that's enough for a playoff team to be successful.
Yeah, they have some good role players. I wouldn't go as far as saying they have a top 5 starting lineup just because they don't really have a star. Unfortunately, their star has been hurt all season. I think maybe with a healthy Victor Oladipo, I'd give you maybe top 3 in the East. I don't think in the league, though. That's a little bit of a stretch. But at the end of the day, they do have a good team. There's no denying that. But I think Miami would be too much for them to handle.
If you look at it, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon was a borderline all-star not being hurt. If he hadn't gotten hurt, you could make a very good case for him getting in. Sabonis already being an all-star. TJ Warren having the best point per game averages of his career, Victor Oladipo coming back, still trying to, you know, I mean, that's why they struggled, I think, was because they had so many guys dominating the ball and Oladipo just didn't really have a place. And, you know, he was so used to taking those shots a year ago, but now with the emergence and the pickup of Malcolm Brogdon and the emergence of Sabonis and even the emergence of TJ Warren, it was a struggle for him to get his shots and having to play with those other guys and not being the guy. But if they could find a way to get him involved, like I know they can, then I think they have a very good starting five that can compete with any other team.
I mean, Brogdon and Sabonis have both had great years. There's no denying that. Sabonis, one of the biggest surprises of this year, along with Brogdon. With no Victor Oladipo, though, I just don't think you can really rank them as high as you're trying to do. I'll give it to you. They do have a great starting five. There's no denying that. But at the end of the day, they need a healthy Victor Oladipo to even win in the first round. And that's shown over the past couple years that even with a healthy Victor Oladipo, they haven't been able to do it. I do agree. I think this year, if they had everyone healthy in their lineup, I would probably pick them over the Heat because I don't think Victor Oladipo is going to get back to health. I think this is going to be a long time recovery for him. And I don't think come playoff time, he would have been ready to go the full distance of a series and be able to play, you know, every single minute and really be an effective contributor. So I had to go Heat in this.
Well, I mean, the Pacers last year almost beat LeBron James in the first round without, you know, Malcolm Brogdon and having Victor Oladipo as their star. So I think with the addition of Malcolm Brogdon and having TJ Warren play as good as he did, I really think they could have made a, you know, a decent run in these playoffs, but the Heat just being so good at home and the way they've been playing this year, I couldn't have them over. But I think the Pacers in the future could be a solid team in the East.
All right. I'll digress on this argument with the Pacers. I'll give it to you, but I don't think at the end of the day they're going to be able to get the job done.
All right. And for the next matchup, we have the 3-seeded Boston Celtics versus the 6-seeded Philadelphia 76ers. I picked the Boston Celtics in 7 games as well. The Sixers being 29-2 at home, I think the Celtics really would struggle with that. Agreed. And Philadelphia, it's a pretty hostile environment. They show out for their playoff teams, and they show out especially for the Sixers. And I think the Celtics are the better team, but I could definitely see Ben Simmons and Embiid by themselves winning 3 games at home for them. So I have the Celtics in 7 for me.
I also picked the Celtics in 7. Call me biased, because all roads have really led to that the Sixers would beat the Celtics in a series matchup, in a playoff series matchup, excuse me. Sixers lead the series 3-1 this year. That is a pretty telling number. Boston has struggled against them. There's no denying that. I just think at the end of the day, Boston is a more well-rounded team. I think that below Simmons and Embiid, the Sixers may struggle to keep up with the Celtics, especially with the emergence of Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then Kemba Walker in the playoffs would be a huge X factor for me. I think if he showed out in the playoffs, that is what I'm counting on for the Celtics, and that is what could take them to the Eastern Conference Finals, as I think his production. I think you're going to get it from Tatum. I think you're going to get it from Brown. Kemba Walker this year in general has been a little bit of a wild card. He's shown his promise and his ability, but at the end of the day, he hasn't provided that consistency that the Celtics were counting on. So with that being said, I'm counting on Kemba Walker being the X factor in this series and being able to provide a rock for the Celtics when the young guys struggle at times, which they will, even though they are playoff experienced. So at the end of the day, I think it's Boston in 7, even though all roads really do lead to the Sixers probably winning this series. Maybe my bias, but at the same time, I think at the end of the day, the Celtics have the Sixers number in the playoffs. I think the Sixers subliminally know that. Simmons and Embiid know that they need to get past Boston to really solidify themselves. And I think with a first round matchup, especially, it would really create a lot of momentum for them going forward in the playoffs, knocking off Boston, creating a 6-3 upset. I just don't think it's going to happen, but like, make no mistake about it, the Sixers will be ready for the series and they will be ready to come out and give Boston all they can handle. Like you said, with the home record they have, there's no denying that. I think it's 7. I think neither team wins a road game. I think you could definitely see that. I think Boston holds the home court just as good as the Sixers do, regardless of record, especially in the playoffs. Boston plays well at home, and the Sixers play well at home as well. And I just think at the end of the day, Boston's going to have a higher seed, and they'd win in 7.
Yeah, to your point with Kemba Walker, I think it's going to be tough for him having Ben Simmons on him. So I think the key factor for the Celtics would be Gordon Hayward.
Right.
I think if Gordon Hayward is up in the 22 to 21 points per game range in that series, I think they still win in 7. I don't see them You know, I don't see the Sixers losing the game because of that. But I think the key factor for the Sixers, if Tobias Harris is playing the 21, 22 points per game, I think they could very easily beat the Boston Celtics. Tobias Harris is definitely there. I mean, they paid him big money. He's the guy that needs to show up. And if he shows up like he can and he has shown, not in the playoffs, but in the regular season, I think they have a very good chance going, not just in this series, but going forward in the East.
Yeah, the Celtics have a lot of guys that you could say are going to be an X factor because, unfortunately, none of them show up at the same time a lot of the time. A lot of time it's one or two guys like Brown and Tatum this year that'll show up, and Hayward and Kemba aren't quite up with them, regardless of injury or whatever it may be. But it seems as though Boston has a hard time getting their, you know, four best players on the floor at the same time. My X factor for the Sixers would probably be Ben Simmons due to his performance against the Celtics last time they played in the playoffs. I think he'd have a chip on his shoulder or something to prove. And I think he'd come out and play well. And if he did play well, I know Embiid will come out and play well. Embiid is just proven in the playoffs. I like his confidence. He's cocky, and I think he's made for playoff basketball, which is why I think if it doesn't end up working out with the Sixers for him, he could move to a big team and really create some buzz around the team in the playoffs because of his ability to trash talk and, you know, really just be confident in his game, more confident than the guy that he's playing against. But Ben Simmons would be a big one for me. I think that he kind of got a little bit into his shell last time against the Celtics, and I think that this time he needs to show his true abilities and that he is one of the top point guards in the league and that he can go toe-to-toe with a big-time Boston Celtics team and prevail.
A quick over-under question for you. In that Game 7, do you have Ben Simmons over-under scoring 1 point in that game?
I got to go over. I know where you're getting at. I know you're getting at some Ben Simmons hate here. I'd have to go over, but statistics do show us that he is capable of going the under, so you would not be wrong in going the under. I'll ask you the same question, over under 1 point for Ben Simmons in Game 7.
I will take the line on that.
You're going to go 1 point.
1 point.
Okay.
No field goals, one free throw for the boy.
All right. And Ben Simmons hate continues on the College Sports Podcast.
In our last matchup in the East, we have the 2-seeded Toronto Raptors versus the 7-seeded Brooklyn Nets. I had the Toronto Raptors winning in 5 games. The Brooklyn Nets, without their 2 big stars, I think the Raptors have a little bit of confidence from last year, even not having Kawhi Leonard. And I think Toronto is absolutely going to show out in every home game, and I can very easily see the Raptors winning on the road against the Nets. So I had the Raptors in 5.
Right. I also picked Raptors in 5. 3 out of 4 picks together.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good so far. We didn't look at each other's stuff before either. We do it completely separate every time. Right. Getting back to the series. Raptors lead this regular season series 3-1. Raptors have really shown no ability of slowing down. And I think Brooklyn, unfortunately, with all the injuries they've suffered this year, they haven't really had the ability to boost a solid core. With Kyrie, it's been either the Spencer Dinwiddie show or the Kyrie Irving show. And I think that that will create some problems in the playoffs because regardless of if Kyrie's healthy or not, I don't know if they really know a good type of offense that works for that team. Kyrie's so ball dominant, but so is Dinwiddie. And those are their 2 biggest scorers, obviously with KD being out. I just don't know where they really find consistency in scoring. They have a good core. I like Joe Harris. I like Caris LeVert. I like DeAndre Jordan. I think they have a good core, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to be good enough in the playoffs. Really tough matchup against the Raptors. I would have liked to see them maybe play the Celtics. That would have been great if Kyrie could have been healthy. Obviously, we don't know. It could have changed. These standings are based off of what the standings were when the season was postponed due to COVID-19, of course. So these seedings could have changed, but as of right now, they would have played the Raptors, and I agree with you. Raptors in 5. Raptors have been just such a great team this year, and they'd be a huge threat in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if I want the Nets playing the Celtics after what happened last time in Boston. You have Caris LeVert, you could say the Celtic killer, absolutely balled in the fourth quarter in overtime. So I think the Celtics either way really have a tough matchup. But
the 6 and 7 seeds, Brooklyn and Philadelphia are not teams to mess with. I did not think Philadelphia would be at the 6th spot. They obviously could have moved up. But as of right now, I did not see them in the 6th spot. I saw them potentially. Obviously the Raptors' emergence was unforeseen after Kawhi leaving. I thought they were going to take the 2 seed personally, and I know a lot of experts did too. I mean, people had the Sixers running out of the East at the beginning of the year. So they've definitely had a little bit of a disappointing campaign thus far.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see where the Nets line up next year with KD and Kyrie coming back. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they match up with the likes of the Bucks and the Raptors and the Celtics. So I'm really excited for that for next year.
All right, so that is our first four games in the Eastern Conference. We're now moving to the Western Conference with our matchup of the first seed Los Angeles Lakers versus the 8 seed Memphis Grizzlies. I had the Lakers on a sweep here. It actually, you know, the regular season series is an interesting one to look at. Obviously, I'm basing it off this last matchup that I recently saw, which was the first matchup, which was when Los Angeles beat them 120-91. That game really showed the youth of Ja Morant, and it really just showed that a veteran squad is going to take a rookie-led team and chew them up and spit them out. I think the Lakers would win this in four. I do see Ja Morant potentially having a few games where he comes out and plays well. Unfortunately, their supporting cast, I'm just not a huge believer in. I love Valanciunas. I really do. I think he's a great matchup, but unfortunately, he's going to be against Anthony Davis, and that is going to struggle. I believe last time they played, he came out with 7-7. Not good enough. He needs to be averaging a double-double in this series for them to even make a run at a few games. So my opinion, I think LeBron and AD and company, way too much for the Grizzlies. That's a Lakers sweep for me. What do you got?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that 100%. I have the Lakers winning in four. The Lakers, their veteran core going up against the very young and rookie core in the Memphis Grizzlies is going to be tough for the Grizzlies. I think for the X factor for the Lakers, not only for the series but moving forward, is Avery Bradley. Mm-hmm. Avery Bradley is a great second half of the season, and if he keeps up what he's done, I think the Lakers are almost untouchable in the West. But yeah, I agree with you. I have the Lakers winning in four.
All right, very nice, very nice. Going on to the 4-5 seed, we got the Utah Jazz in the 4 spot against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the 5 spot. I went with an upset. First upset of the day. I have gone with the Thunder in 6. Now, this is a bit of a controversial pick, I'm sure. I'm not a big Jazz believer personally. I think beyond Donovan Mitchell, they have a little bit of a question mark as to who's going to do the scoring for them. And even with Donovan Mitchell, he's been inconsistent this year. Being a fantasy basketball owner of him, he has had times where he struggled scoring and been really inefficient. Also, I don't really think he provides enough with other statistics as far as assists and rebounds, like a lot of point guards do in the NBA, to the point where he really can be considered the ultimate leader on that team. He's still young, great promising player. I just think the Oklahoma City Thunder have that veteran leadership with Chris Paul, the emergence of Schroeder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with veterans like Steven Adams. I think that that's going to be one of the best first-round series in the NBA playoffs if it were to happen. I just think Thunder in 6 is too much. The series is tied 1-1 so far this year with Utah winning at home and then losing at home. They've had two home Utah matchups, and they were to have two Oklahoma City home matchups later on in the season. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Thunder would be too much for them. I also like the Thunder's home court advantage. You used to see that a lot with the Westbrook Durant teams. I like OKC in the playoffs. I think they bring a great atmosphere. Not that Utah doesn't, but I think that Oklahoma City would really play for their fans. And I think that at the end of the day, they'd be too much. So I went Thunder in 6. What do you have?
I had the Jazz in 7. We disagree on this one. The kicker for me with the Jazz is their defense. They are always a defensively sound team. I think the youth of the Thunder would struggle with that, especially with Rudy Gobert clogging up the paint. They'd be forced to shoot more on the perimeter, and I think they struggle a little bit in that department. Also, I think Quinn Snyder's head over heels a better coach than Billy Donovan. So I have Quinn Snyder out coaching Billy Donovan, and also the Jazz having home court. I just have Thunder winning every game at home, the Jazz winning every game at home, and I just have the Jazz ultimately winning in 7 at home.
See, the Quinn Snyder shout there is an interesting one to me, because I would agree with you until this season. I would say this is Billy Donovan's best coaching job so far in the NBA, and he deserves potential credit depending on how high the Thunder ended up climbing up at the end of the season, because as of right now, they're only a game behind the Jazz for that 4 seed, and they're only 2 games behind Denver for the 3 seed. So if you tell me, I don't think they'd catch the Clippers or the Lakers, but if you tell me that the Thunder finish as a 3 seed in the West, that Billy Donovan doesn't deserve praise for potentially coach of the year, I would disagree that Quinn Snyder is head over heels a better coach than him. I would agree that he's a better coach at the end of the day. I think he's created a Utah Jazz team that is going to be a playoff team for a long time to come. But I think at the end of the day, that's not as big of a discrepancy as you're making it out to be. Also, an interesting development that actually just recently came out, I saw it on Bleacher Report, the Donovan Mitchell-Rudy Gobert relationship potentially being hindered because of Gobert's actions before the COVID-19 issue. You know, that could create a rift in that team. And those are their two big time players. They're, you know, their ball handler, their scorer, and then their defensive stopper and their rim protector. That could create some problems for Utah. And they're so much of a team unit that anything that would really disrupt that, I could really feel there being a problem with that team come playoff time if the season were to continue. Of course, they could get rid of Gobert. They could move on from him. I don't think they'll move on from Donovan Mitchell. I think Gobert would lose out in that one if they had to pick between the two. But, you know, relationships are always something that you have to think about. It always just flies under the radar in the NBA. But if there's a rift in the team with relationships, that could really cause some problems, especially in a series where even if you have good relationships, they will get tested at all times in a 7-game series. So that's something to think about. I don't know if that's being played out in the media as much as it is in real life, but at the end of the day, I think that could affect them. But no, I go Thunder in 6, you go Jazz in 7. Fair shouts there.
Yeah, what's crazy for me is how similar the teams are. So right. I think the home court advantage for the Jazz, I think that's the ultimate kicker for me, and that's why I have them in 7.
Not a bad shot there, not a bad shot. Next matchup we got here, we're going to go with the 3-seed Denver Nuggets versus the 6-seed Houston Rockets. This is an interesting series. I also went with an upset in this series. I have gone Rockets in 6. Now, again, controversial. Are you a big believer in the Rockets or are you a big believer in the Denver Nuggets? I'd say a lot of people would say neither. Me personally, not a big believer in either one of these teams, but I'm going to go Rockets in 6. I think Harden and Westbrook have shown flashes this year that their ability to play together in sync is very, very unstoppable. When they're both on kilter and they're playing their best basketball, they would be a hard team to stop in the playoffs. I think home court would hurt them. Season series this year is tied up 2-2. Houston has won both games at home and Denver's won both games at home. So initially that would tell you Denver could potentially win this in 7 if it continues on this. And they would have played no more regular season games regardless of COVID-19. So obviously, there is some sort of home court advantage there. I just think that at the end of the day, Westbrook, Harden, and Cass are too much for the Nuggets. I think that the Nuggets have guys that are good regular season players, but I don't know if they're going to show up in the playoffs. And I think that it's time for Westbrook and Harden to show up in the playoffs together and play well. I think especially for Harden, he needs a coming out party in the playoffs. And I could say the same thing about Russ. I think that this would be their moment to upset a 3-seed and then potentially move on and face the Clippers, which would be a great matchup. I don't know necessarily if they'd win that, but I think at the end of the day, that's where they want to be. They want to be with the top two teams. They want to be playing for that because I think at the end of the day, in my opinion, they are the third best team in the West. That is debatable, but I think that roster-wise, I think they're the third best team. So with that being said, I've gone Rockets in 6. What do you got?
Oh, we were so close. I have the Rockets in 7, another upset. This really just lies on Russell Westbrook and James Harden, whether they show up or not. If they show up, I think they can beat any team in the West. But if they don't, they can lose to any team. So it's tough with that. I have the Rockets actually winning this in Denver. Last year, the Trailblazers went 7 with Denver, closed it out in Denver. I have the same thing here with the Rockets. I think Jokic is going to struggle with the small ball scheme of the Houston Rockets. It's going to be hard for him to play defense and move around and guard PJ Tucker in the corner and have to crash in on Harden driving the paint. So if he's a liability for the Nuggets, I think they're done with that. And I think the Rockets win in 7.
That's actually a really good point. I like that point with Jokic. He's so much of a, while he can stretch the floor, he's very much of a methodical post player. And having a pesky PJ Tucker on you and potentially getting double teamed could really frustrate him. The Denver losing at home in Game 7 shout is an interesting one to me. That'd be a huge coming out party for the Rockets to win a Game 7 on the road. That'd be huge for their confidence going into the next round. I like the shout. I've gone Rockets in 6, Rockets in 7.
Rockets in 7.
Interesting. Last but not least, final playoff matchup in the first round of the Western Conference. We have the 2-seed LA Clippers versus the 7-seed Dallas Mavericks. I have gone Clippers in 5. This is a great matchup. Dallas as a 7-seed is such a sleeper. And honestly, if it weren't the Clippers, I'd consider it. And the Mavericks could have moved up, of course. But with the matchup having it right now, I think the Mavericks do pick off a game. I think that at home they pick off a game. But I think at the end of the day, it'd be 4-1 to the Clippers. I don't see the Rock. I mean, I don't see the Mavericks being able to match up with the Clippers personnel. They have arguably the best personnel in the league, top to bottom of the roster. With Kawhi and Paul George both healthy, potentially would just be killer for them. Luka would have a great series, I think. I think Luka would show you that he's a playoff performer. And I think with the emergence of Kristaps Porzingis in the second half of the season, that would have been a tough matchup, because I think if the Clippers do lack, it is in the big man department with Zubac and also Montrezl Harrell having a great year. But I think they might have a little bit of trouble with Kristaps' ability to stretch the floor. That could potentially run into some problems, which is why I think the Mavericks might pick off a game. But regular season series, the Clippers lead 2-0. So I think at the end of the day, I'm going Clippers 5. What about you?
I had Clippers in 5 as well. I think the Clippers, Kawhi and Paul George, will be too much for them. I could definitely see Luka and Kristaps just being so good at what they do, winning a game at home, just based on how good they are. But that's no more for me. I have the Clippers in 5. Just their defensive versatility, as well as their offensive versatility. I mean, top to bottom, in any way, shape, or form, they are, I think, the most well-balanced team in the NBA. Doc Rivers, great job coaching. I think their bench is too much for almost any team. And I have Clippers in 5 pretty easily. 5.
Yeah, I think so too. I do think the Mavericks will pick one off. But
yeah, I think so too.
Moving on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Carson, go ahead and start.
In the semis, I have the number one Milwaukee Bucks versus the 4 seed in Miami Heat. I have the Bucks winning in 6 games. Once again, I think the Bucks are too much. Giannis, Bam, to his credit, did a very good job the last time they met on Giannis. But I think Giannis's also experienced supporting cast compared to the young supporting cast that Jimmy Butler has. I think Mike Budenholzer being a veteran coach, as well as the supporting cast being veterans, I think they're too much for the Heat.
So I also had Bucks and 6. I think this is an interesting matchup. I like the Heat in this matchup, but unfortunately, the Bucks have the best player, and that's Giannis. And I think at the end of the day, he would take over in these games. I do like the Bam Adebayo matchup potentially versus Brooke Lopez. I think they might end up having to move Giannis maybe on to Bam as that series went on. I think that Bam would prove to be a little bit too athletic for Lopez. But I think at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler would become a little bit frustrated. He is always kind of due to implode a little bit, and I think that you could see that in this series, being frustrated, especially if he were to be switched on, like if Giannis were to guard him. That could create some frustration. I do like the Heat supporting cast. I think that they could give him a run, which is why I picked them to win 2 games. But I think at the end of the day, the Bucks are going to be too much for them, so I've also gone Bucks in 6.
Yeah, the Heat's offensive struggles and having to play the best defense in the NBA, I think you kind of implode on the offensive end. It's going to be a defensive matchup, and I think the Bucks' offense is just way too good.
So now,
they win in 6.
If the Heat were to shoot the 3-ball well in this series, it could change. You know, they have the guys to do it. If Butler, Hero, Nunn were able to step out, knock down threes in this series, could be a different series. I think that of course the 3-ball against anyone is a huge X factor. I think if the Celtics would have been able to make the 3-ball against the Bucks last year, the series would have been a little bit closer. The Bucks would have just won those 4 straight on them. I'm going Bucks in 6, but I think at the end of the day, the Heat do have enough X factors that they could flip the series and potentially take it to 7. I don't see a scenario where the Heat win this series, but 6 or 7 is a good pick.
Yeah, having the 7th game be in Milwaukee, I could never see the Heat winning that. So, the next matchup, we have the 2-seeded Toronto Raptors versus 3-seeded Boston Celtics. I have the Boston Celtics in 7 games, closing out at home. A little bit biased here, but Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they've been there before, and Toronto has been there as well. But I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have a little outbreak. I think they show up. Kemba has a big series. Daniel Tice with his 3-point ability has really stepped up. So I think all around on the offensive end, I think they could step up and win the series. It will be tough in Toronto game 7, but I have them in 7.
I agree. I went Celtics in 7 as well. This is a really tough one for me. The Raptors have had such a good season, but the Celtics have had a good season too. And I wouldn't sleep on the Celtics' ability. Just their starting 5 matchup, I like the Celtics. And I like the Celtics against a lot of teams. I'd say the Celtics have a top 3 starting lineup in the league when healthy. Now, it's interesting because the Raptors have Siakam. They have Lowry. They have, Fred VanVleet, who's had a great season. But I think at the end of the day, the Celtics starting 5 would just be too much for them. I think the emergence of Tatum this year, as we had mentioned before, Tatum, Brown, if Kemba Walker were to continue to have a good playoffs, I think that the Celtics would win this one in seven, personally. I think the Celtics would have a tough time going to Toronto and winning that game seven. That is a little bit of a shout for me personally. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think Toronto holds the home floor very well, especially in the playoffs. You got Drake on the sidelines. They get lit. Toronto gets lit in the playoffs. Like they have shown to have one of the best home court advantages in the NBA, no doubt about it. And it's really not even an argument. They show out. So I've gone Celtics in seven. I think that at the end of the day, the Celtics talent, again, I'm banking on the Celtics talent emerging, all four stars being healthy. This is the scenario I'm going with, but I think at the end of the day, they'd be too much for the Raptors.
Yeah, I think the Raptors have a tough time guarding Jalen, Jason, and Gordon Hayward. Having three wings that are so good, it's just hard to find defenders that can defend all three and do a good job at doing that. So I think the Celtics excel, especially with their wing play. So yeah, that's why I have the Celtics over the Raptors.
Very nice. Moving on to the Western Conference semifinals. First matchup, I have the number one seed Los Angeles Lakers versus the number five seed Oklahoma City Thunder. I've gone Lakers in five. This one for me is kind of similar to the Grizzlies series. I think the veteran leadership of Chris Paul and their core would pick off a game in OKC. I think the Lakers might struggle a little bit in OKC, but the problem is I just don't know if the Thunder provide enough offensive firepower, especially on the road, to keep up with this Lakers team. They have a veteran core who they picked these players for the playoffs. Like, make no mistake about it, this core they have was made for the playoffs. They're all veterans. They have multiple championships under their belt. And at the end of the day, these guys are going to perform in the playoffs, I think. And that's why I picked them in the series to win in five. I don't think it'll be much of a challenge. I think you could see them struggle a little bit in OKC, like I said. But besides that, I've gone Lakers in five pretty easily for me.
Yeah, no matter who I picked between the Jazz or Thunder, I had the Lakers sweeping them. The Lakers veteran core with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, too much, especially for either of those two teams. I think they handle whoever they play in that series pretty easily, so I had the Lakers in four.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, a sweep for me, that would be it'd be crazy if they swept back-to-back series. I think that'd be a really big statement for them. I don't know if they could quite do that. I think the NBA playoffs are a little bit more of a test than people give it credit for, especially going on the road, but Lakers in four is a fair shout. I'll give that one to you. Next matchup, we have the number two seed Los Angeles Clippers versus the number six seed Houston Rockets. I've gone Clippers in six on this one. I do think the momentum the Rockets would have gained from winning that first round series against the Nuggets would have propelled them to really be playing good basketball. I just think at the end of the day, I don't really see a scenario where they go into LA and really do anything. I think that they could defend home court potentially, maybe, you know, win a game or two. But the problem is that I do see LA going to Houston and winning a game. I'd be very surprised if this series went seven. I think that the Clippers will go to Houston and pick off one, and I picked it in game six for them to go and pick off that game in Houston. I think with the Clippers coming off their two home games, which I'm assuming they're going to win, and then also having picked off one in Houston and then going back home, I just think at the end of the day, it would be too much for them. And I think that the Clippers would win this one in six. What do you got?
I have Clippers in six as well. Right. I agree with you. I think the Clippers, I mean, remember the last time they played in Houston, they absolutely blew them out by 30-plus points.
Right.
I see the Clippers doing that in game six. The Clippers all around too much. They really handled the small ball defense pretty well, as they showed in that game. But I think, give Russ and Harden credit, they're good enough to win two games. So yeah, I have the Clippers in six just out of respect for Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Paul George come playoff time. Obviously, with this break for the coronavirus, I think this actually benefited the Clippers a little bit. I think letting Paul George rest was very important for them. He had been struggling all year with injuries, and I think that come playoff time, he was one of the big X factors for this Western Conference Finals matchup we're about to talk about. He was going to be an X factor for me because he can guard LeBron. I think that they got a guy that they can switch off Kawhi and PG on LeBron and potentially have the two best defenders in the league on LeBron, which is a huge deal for them. I think that his health is a big deal. I don't know if this series would have happened in the correct timeline as the NBA season should have gone without the virus happening, that he would have been really healthy enough to be playing minutes in every single game, big time minutes in every single game. But I think at the end of the day, his health is extremely important to the Clippers' success in the playoffs. So that remains to be seen. I think if the NBA season were to continue and they were to do these playoffs, I think his health would be good. I think that he's been off for enough time. I think a lot of teams would be, I think every team would be rested up well, but I think it's, you have to look at what teams had huge injuries before this happened. And I think that PG was struggling along a little bit. And I think also you could play Kawhi more minutes now because he's gotten this break that far surpasses anything that he could have done by, you know, taking games off and resting. So I think that the Clippers would be well rested. And I think that at the end of the day, I could see it in five, but I'm going to go six because of, like you said, respect for Russ and Harden. And if they make it to this round, they're obviously going to be hot. Let's see.
And we move on to the Eastern Conference Final, correct?
Yeah, Eastern Conference Final.
All right, Eastern Conference Final. I have the one-seeded Milwaukee Bucks against the three-seeded Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, Bucks in seven. I think the Bucks close this out. I think the Celtics, just the way they struggled last year, and you really looked at their depth and you really thought they could make a run at the Bucks, and the Bucks dominated them from games 2 to 5. So I think the Bucks win in that. I think Jason Tatum could struggle just how good of a defensive team the Bucks are. And I think the Bucks have a little bit more defensive versatility than the Raptors. So that's why I give them the nod. I think their ability to guard the three-headed monster, as far as the wings go for the Celtics, is better than the Raptors. So I have the Bucks closing out at home. I don't really, the Celtics winning in Milwaukee is hard to see for me. So I have the Bucks winning every home game. I could see the Celtics winning every home game, but ultimately the Bucks being the number one seed, they get that game 7 at home. So I have the Bucks advancing to the NBA Finals.
I have Bucks in 6. This was a tough one for me, of course, being a Celtics fan, but I think last year's series was so telling that this Celtics team just isn't quite there yet as far as a unit goes. I think at the end of the day, they don't get to play enough games together, and I think that that shows sometimes in big game situations is that they have a lot of guys that just get little injuries. You have, you know, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, you have Jaylen Brown being out for a time, Kemba. They have injuries, and I think at the end of the day, this core hasn't had enough time to really mesh together and be a threat to go to the NBA Finals. I think that I was stretching a little bit to even put them past the Raptors. They'd have to really click on all cylinders, but I think at the end of the day, they'd run into the monster, which is the Milwaukee Bucks, and I think it's Bucks in 6. Bucks showed last year that they had the Celtics number from after game one. It was really sad to see a team just crumble. The Bucks don't really seem scared of the Celtics home court advantage. They didn't seem shook. They went into Boston and absolutely blew them out, which was very disheartening for Celtics fans. And I think at the end of the day, Bucks in 7 maybe a bit more fair if you're going to give the Celtics a little bit of momentum after beating the Raptors, which I think they would have gotten. I don't see the Bucks really gaining much momentum in these playoffs, being the one seed and having faced the Magic and the Heat. I just don't know if they get a lot of momentum off that. I think the Celtics could really hit a high momentum streak and potentially go in there and give the Bucks a really good series. I think at the end of the day, the Bucks are just too much. Giannis has a big series. No one's guarding him. And at the end of the day, it's Bucks in 6 for me.
Yeah, that's a very good point with health. The Bucks are never injured. They always play together. They have that experience. And you're absolutely right. The inexperience of that core with the Celtics is definitely going to hurt them. But, I mean, you're right. If they hit that high point, I definitely could see them maybe giving, you know, the Bucks are on for their money, but I think the Bucks are too much regardless, as they should last year. So,
moving on to the Western Conference Finals, I have the one seed Los Angeles Lakers versus the two seed Los Angeles Clippers. I have Lakers in 7. This is very tough, by far the toughest matchup to pick for me. These two teams are so evenly matched up. They have superstars. They have good role players. They're made for the playoffs. These are the two most ready playoff teams in the NBA. No doubt about it. Bucks, arguably. But I think just the overall teams that they've created in Los Angeles are ready to win NBA Finals right now. I think that this series would be one of the most entertaining series we've seen in the past decade. I think that the matchup of LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, Anthony Davis, you have four absolute superstars going at it in one city, may I add. Their home court advantage is a little bit of an argument here. I don't really think that that would play in much. I think that when the Clippers do move to the Forum and make their own arena, there's where you really start seeing some home court advantage in that city. But I think with playing in the Staples Center and simply just changing the court, it's hard to keep Lakers fans out. I think the Lakers have a bigger fan base. And I think at the end of the day, when it would be the Clippers home game, I could still see it being potentially higher than 50-50 Lakers fans there. Lakers just have that fan base the Clippers don't. I think LeBron, having made it to the Western Conference Finals, knowing that he can make it to the finals and not have to face a absolute superstar squad like he's had to in the past couple years, aka the Warriors. I think the Bucks are much more manageable for him. Obviously, I'd still give the Bucks a huge amount of respect, but I think at the end of the day, the Lakers would be too much for the Clippers. I think LeBron and AD have a big time series. I don't know who's guarding AD. I don't know who's stopping AD in this series. You can say that you're going to put Paul George or even Kawhi on him. I think AD is too much. AD's game is completely polished. He has few flaws in there. And I think that when they would crash down on AD, I think they'd realize really soon in that series that AD was actually the problem. I think he'd be proving to be a little bit more of a problem than LeBron in the first couple games. And then I think you could see King James really taking over and taking advantage of them paying attention to the other superstar on the team. And honestly, if the Lakers role players just shoot it at a decent clip, if Caldwell Pope, Caruso, if those guys just shoot it at a decent clip, I think that they win this series. I think the Clippers do have a better overall team, but I think that AD is the X factor. I think AD averages potentially a big series, even averaging 30 points a game, maybe up into 13, 14 rebounds. I really like AD in this series. I go Lakers in seven.
I have Lakers in seven as well. And it's really two things for me. Number one is the fan base situation, like you were talking about. The Clippers never really getting a home court advantage, like getting that home court advantage, that's going to really hurt. Because last year, Kawhi having the city of Toronto behind him, he's used to that energy and that buildup, and he's just not going to get that in LA as having the whole city root for the Lakers. And so I think the Clippers are going to struggle with having any sort of momentum, especially at home. That's going to hurt for them. And I think that absolutely plays into the Lakers' advantage. So that's one reason why I have the Lakers. Number two is Paul George. OKC Paul George and Clipper Paul George. You saw last year Russell Westbrook really, you know, let Paul George get his shots and let him close out games and get the most amount of shots on the team. And that's why he was number three in the MVP race. And that's why he averaged 28 a game. You're just not going to get that with Kawhi. Kawhi's in no situation is going to give up shots, no matter what Paul, if he's hot, if he's, you know, had a great series. I think Kawhi is going to be Kawhi. And I think Paul George is just not going to get the offensive volume that he wants. And I think he's going to have to really pick and choose his shots. And he's just not used to that. So I think that's going to hurt the Clippers a lot. And I think the Lakers are going to capitalize having Anthony Davis be that rock in the middle, as well as LeBron being out on the wing, LeBron facilitating. I think the Clippers being a great defensive team, I think the Lakers win in seven.
I'm a little bit interested in that point you made about Kawhi and Paul George. I think PG actually, out of a lot of superstars, kind of gets playing second fiddle a little bit with his experience with Westbrook and OKC. I think he, obviously, I don't think anybody's ever comfortable playing second fiddle being a superstar, but I think Paul George knows how to find spots on the floor where he can get scoring opportunities. I agree. I think Kawhi takes the bulk of the shots. I think Kawhi finally really gets into his bag, especially against the Lakers. I think that he has to. I think he has to pull out a series of a lifetime to beat them. And Paul George, I think he also knows that Paul George is his biggest ally in this mission. He needs Paul George. He needs Paul George to be putting up those numbers like he did in OKC, like he did at the end of his Indiana tenure. I think that Paul George is the X factor, like I said before, in this series. I think that if he can be up in the 23, 24 points a game and Kawhi adds in some points and their bench just plays the way that they've been playing all season, that they could potentially win the series. This is a total toss-up series for me. I just like the Lakers better personally. But I think at the end of the day, that is a very interesting point you made. I agree. Paul George needs to be assertive and he needs to want to get the ball because he is a mismatch. The Lakers don't have two guys that can guard PG and Kawhi, because either way, you're going to get a mismatch. LeBron's going to guard one of them, and I'll give you the LeBron matchup on whatever, but even though I think it could be a mismatch. But AD's going to have to guard one of them potentially, and that could be a mismatch. And I think that at the end of the day, PG might be the one that gets the AD matchup due to his height. And I think that he could take advantage of it, not necessarily in the post, but off the dribble, stretching the floor, using ball screens, really being creative. If the Clippers have it in them, I think they could win this series. But I think at the end of the day, like I said before, AD is going to be such a problem in this series. And I think that Lakers in seven, like you said.
Yeah, Paul George, he did score 31 in their last meeting, but just his consistency doing it through a whole series is a little bit questionable for me. So that's why I think Paul George will have the struggles. And I think the Lakers will ultimately come out on top in seven games.
NBA Finals. So we have the same matchup, correct?
Yes.
So we got Bucks versus Lakers. Go ahead, man. What do you got?
I have the one-seeded Los Angeles Lakers versus the one-seeded Milwaukee Bucks, and I have the Los Angeles Lakers winning in six games, LeBron James Finals MVP. I think LeBron James, obviously, with his Finals experience, Milwaukee not having any Finals experience is what the big factor is. I think LeBron James is on a mission. I think he'll have that high hope of confidence after beating, you know, the Clippers in the semi or in the conference finals. I think he'll feel really good. I think the team will feel really good. And I see the Lakers winning at home against the one-seeded Milwaukee Bucks.
Check my hand. Lakers in six as well. We had a lot of similar picks in this. It was hard to pick, but I think the NBA playoffs can be a little bit predictable, especially in the first couple rounds. We had a couple differences. I think at the end of the day, Lakers in six. LeBron, if he makes it to the finals this year, if he loses to this Bucks team, I'm sorry. You can love the Bucks as much as you want. You can love that team. You can love Giannis as much as you want. It is going to be a blemish on his record again. Not as bad as the Mavericks, but second fiddle. I mean, you cannot make it to this finals and lose to this Bucks team. I'm sorry. If you're LeBron and you're AD, you've got to go and you've got to win this thing. I think in six is fair. I think that the Lakers have the tougher conference finals matchup. And with that being said, you could argue, well, they might be a little bit gassed. I actually argue the opposite. I think that that probably ignites a fire in LeBron that we haven't seen since he was on the Heat personally. Maybe that Cavaliers team that won it. He will be ready. AD will smell blood in the water, and he will be ready. I'm sorry. I think the Lakers in six, I think this will be interesting to see what they do for matchups, though, for me, because I think AD is going to dominate Brook Lopez so much in the first, maybe in the first couple minutes of game one, they might have to immediately switch Giannis onto him when he's on the court, which would leave LeBron in a huge mismatch, maybe Chris Middleton on him, which Chris Middleton is a great defender, don't get me wrong, but that would be a mismatch physically. I mean, LeBron would, I think he'd take Chris Middleton. But also, with that being said, if LeBron ends up being too much for Middleton and they go Giannis on LeBron, AD then on Brook Lopez, that is a mismatch. I had a tough time going MVP. It's based on matchups for me personally, who's going to be the MVP between LeBron and Anthony Davis. I'm thinking that at the end of the day, they're going to have to put Giannis on AD, and I think that LeBron's going to go Chris Middleton. So I've gone LeBron for Finals MVP as well. It was a close second for me with AD, but I think at the end of the day, LeBron making it to the finals, he's going to want to get this one done with because of the competition he's playing against. I think he knows that this is his chance to really elevate his GOAT status, if you may. Having those, you know, having those rings, man, that really would boost him up with MJ. I mean, I don't know. That would, if he won it this year, it would be interesting because then you're set up for potentially another, and who knows what's going to happen, man. But I have Lakers in six, LeBron James, Finals MVP. I agree with you on that. Yeah, I mean, that's it for this podcast.
Yeah, well, you know what happens if the Lakers win this?
What?
They tie the Celtics with championships.
Oh, dang, you're right.
So that'll be a dagger in our hearts, unfortunately. I just think that's what's going to happen. But maybe ignite a fire in the Celtics to maybe, you know, get that lead back. But, you know, I think the Lakers are the best team, and I think they're going to win. They're going to tie the Celtics. They're going to rip my heart in half, but
That's going to be devastating to watch, but I think that these NBA Finals, if they happen, would be one of the best we've seen in a long time with that Lakers-Clippers matchup. That would just be what everybody wants. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I hope the NBA can find out a way to finish this season in a fair way and, you know, allow the fans something that they deserve, and that's to see these NBA playoffs being played. And, yeah, I mean, that's really all I got.
Man. Yeah, next year it's going to be so interesting adding two more super teams, one to the East and the Nets, and one to the West and the Warriors, and how they match up with the Lakers and Clippers, and with the Nets, of course, with the Bucks, and the Raptors, and the Celtics. So, I mean, I think the NBA is really top-heavy, and I think that's the best way the NBA is as far as the playoffs and matchups and the viewership, of course, us as viewers. I think that's the best way. So, really excited if they continue these playoffs or if they ever start this year's playoffs or if they just continue to next year. I think regardless, we have a great, you know, little 2-year NBA run that we get to watch, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. One more point, actually, that's a good point with the Warriors being added to the West, even more of an inclination for both the Lakers or the Clippers to win it this year. The Nets being added to the East will be huge. Again, I think the Bucks also. I think for Giannis, this is a huge time for the NBA because, again, there's been rumors that if Giannis doesn't win it this year, that he might move on. If he joined the Warriors, I'd be absolutely blown away. But we've seen it happen before, obviously, and our boy Kevin Durant. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think this is important for the top teams like the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers to win it. This is a good time to win it. There aren't that many teams. You're going to, like you said, you're going to add two super teams to the league next year in each conference. So nobody's out of the dark on that one. They are all going to be exposed. Everybody's going to have to be on their best game with the Warriors coming in with everybody healthy again and that draft pick. And then, of course, with the Nets adding KD. So it's going to be a really exciting time. But yeah, I think that's it for this podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. Yeah, add us on Twitter and let us know what you guys would like to hear. I'm at Jackson J. Cox.
And I'm at Carson Cox 44.
Yeah, just let us know what you guys want to hear. We're always open to interpretation about our opinions too. So reach out and tell us what you think about what we said today. We really appreciate you guys listening. And for the Cox Sports Podcast, I'm Jackson.
And I'm Carson.
We'll see you guys next time.